Happy Tuesday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our Macro Minute for Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. As always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, can the stock market perform well if AI permanently impairs the labor market? The short answer is yes. Much like globalization and the increasingly convoluted tax code that offers egregiously preferential treatment to capital income over labor income, AI is simply another tool that is engineered and employed by elites to consolidate wealth and power. In isolation, such consolidation is not bearish. In terms of analytical nuance, market participants are bracing for renewed volatility ahead of President Trump's State of the Union address tonight and NVIDIA earnings tomorrow. The concern comes amid Anthropic's broadening deployment of its Claude Cowork platform against incremental verticals just weeks after unveiling tools that erased nearly $1 trillion in market cap from software stocks within days and triggered sharp drawdowns in related industries by intensifying debate over artificial intelligence capacity to obsolete entire business models. Anthropic and competitor OpenAI have devoted substantial resources to advancing AI tools that automate an expanding set of professional functions spanning financial services to healthcare in an effort to attract additional enterprise demand and validate premium valuations. Recall that Anthropic recently secured fresh financing at a $380 billion valuation, and OpenAI is in the process of securing another $100 billion in funding that values the company at $850 billion. In our view, demand for fresh AI tools will come in droves as more and more use cases are discovered. For example, new research led by professors from Harvard, Penn, and DePaul demonstrates that active mutual fund portfolio construction decisions can largely be replicated by AI, with the neural network correctly forecasting approximately 71% of quarterly buy, sell, or hold decisions. The algorithm was calibrated using rolling five-year samples from 1990 through 2023, incorporating variables such as fund size, investor flows, equity attributes, and macroeconomic conditions, enabling it to project the bulk of portfolio reallocations. Notably, the roughly 29% of trades the system could not predict were on average more tightly linked to excess returns, indicating that departures from systematic observable patterns are responsible for the majority of alpha generation. The findings suggest machines have internalized much of the asset management industry's standard operating framework, particularly responses to flows, price action, and peer positioning, while remaining less effective at modeling the minority of discretionary decisions that deviate from that template. In our admittedly biased view, the unsystematic nature of alpha generation is largely a function of investors being able to see the big picture well enough to notice regime changes faster than others. For example, the pivot from monetary dominance to fiscal dominance in 2020 and everything that entailed, and it's still entailing, by the way, the pivot from bearish paradigm B to bullish paradigm C in April of 2025, and the likely pivot from the Fed being the primary provider of liquidity back to the commercial banking sector sometime this year or next year. In terms of AI's impact on the labor market, Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook cautioned that the U.S. Central Bank's conventional toolkit may prove insufficient to offset AI-induced labor market dislocations that elevate unemployment. Cook's observations extend a series of recent Fed communications evaluating AI's prospective monetary policy implications, with several policymakers positing that productivity acceleration could lift the neutral rate of interest consistent with macroeconomic equilibrium. We strongly disagree. Refer to our October 28th and February 18th leadoff morning notes and our February 2026 macro scouting report for more details. As always, members of our global investor community can trust that our institutional grade risk management overlays, KISS and Dr. Mo, help our portfolios navigate these emergent risks better than investors attempting to manage risk without systematic rules or relying on fundamental research alone. Transitioning to our 42 macro dashboard, as always, a wrap up with a question from our community. This was titled Something for the Canadians, eh? Hope you guys enjoy my Canadian accent. Hi, Darius. Love your subscription offering. Very happy with the global shift. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. I am an amateur investor trying to set up a portfolio for my handicapped father-in-law in New Zealand. You're now closed the gap in your offering, which has caused me to fully pause in terms of proceeding with this setting up for him as I was driving in a fog. I am based in Canada and was wondering what you or one of your analysts thinks of VEQT as a Canadian alternative to VT, which is the global international equity ETF. Also, I'm looking at the SmartShares Total Reward ETF, TWF, for my New Zealand-based family member Any insight on if these are an adequate and or optimal replacement for VT would be helpful. Side note, do you foresee a commodity allocation being an inclusion in KISS at any point in time in the future? The sector seems poised to outperform for some time, or at least periodically. I know your subscribers would greatly appreciate some consideration given to this question in the dynamic times we find ourselves in. Whether the answer is yes or no, I get it. I don't take factor risk, but is the inclusion of commodities entirely taking factor risk? So excellent questions. So I'll start by reminding everyone that, you know, we're not Google or ChatGPT. If you're looking for ETFs that are good substitutes for your home country, obviously we have clients in 80 plus countries around the world. You know, when we make a recommendation in KISS or Dr. Mo, you know, in terms of our risk management pivots, you know, we can't make 80 plus recommendations based on your guys' individual unique, you know, set of product availability. So you have to do some digging. You guys are all DIY investors, otherwise you wouldn't be paying a 42 macro for access to our research and risk management signals and community and dashboard. So clearly you're DIY investors. So spend the 3 to 5 minutes it takes on Google or ChatGPT or Claude or whatever search you're using these days to figure out what ETF best mimics the ones that we feature in our research, which are obviously U.S. Domiciled ETFs. You know, that's where the majority of, that's where the largest share of our customers are. And that's obviously where I'm domiciled as a U.S. Based investor. So that's always going to be the core focus of our product set in terms of what we're signaling on and focused on. So you guys have to do, you know, again, the 1 to 5 minutes of work it takes to figure out which ETFs are available in your home country that can be used to replicate the signals that we are producing across the broad asset class that we produce. And so obviously KISS has three factors in it. Stocks go Bitcoin. Dr. Mo manages risk across 70 different factors across all of global US and global equities, fixed income, both domestic and global, as well as currencies, commodities, and crypto. So plenty to you know, benefit from here behind our paywall. So I just want to make sure you guys are aware that, you know, we're never going to be in the business of, you know, hand-holding you guys on which ETF is available in your unique location to replicate our research. Yeah, please, please take a second to do that research. So in fact, you know, just using this question as an example, you know, I just asked ChatGPT, can you compare the geographic allocations and fees between the VT ETF and Canada's VQ ETF? And ChatGPT, after 49 seconds of thinking, told me that VT has a North America weighting of 64.2%, a developed Europe weighting of 11%, Japan at 6%, emerging Asia just shy of 6%, Asia developed at 5%, UK at 3%, Australasia at 1.7%, Africa, Middle East at 1.42%. And that compares to VEQT with the total US market of 44.6, Canada at 30%, developed ex-North America 18%, and EM at 7.2%. So quite a bit of a difference between the two ETFs, quite a bit of a difference in terms of the management fees as well. VT is a 6 basis point management fee, expense ratio rather. VEQT is at, I wanna say 17 basis points. And then I added TE or VXC in there as well. VXC is actually a little bit closer to VT, which is what we use to manage the equity exposure in our KISS model portfolio, total international equity exposure. VXC, just from my vantage point, looks a little bit closer than VEQT. But again, this is not a question. This is not something we're trying to decide for you. You guys have to make that choice as thoughtful, dispassionate, data-driven DIY investors who are part of our community. So, you know, we encourage you to use the bevy of information and the incredibly powerful search capabilities from our friends at Google, OpenAI, Claude, et cetera, to come up with this analysis. Again, it took me, you know, 2 seconds to write this sentence, and the machine did the work for 49 seconds. So I just want to remind you guys, if you ever, you know, if you're a customer of ours or a customer of anybody's, and you're ever like, hey, I live in New Zealand, what's the New Zealand ETF for, you know, S&P 500, what's the New Zealand ETF for global equities? That's not a question Darius is going to answer for you. That's a question Google, ChatGPT, Claude, et cetera, are going to answer for you. So just want to hammer that point home so we stop getting these types of questions. And then transitioning to the second part of the question, do you foresee a commodity allocation being inclusion in KISS at any point in time in the future? No, unlikely, because one, commodities as an asset class are fraught with a couple of things that I don't think are helpful for retail investors. One, commodities are a stationary time series over a long enough period of time. commodities don't trend higher or lower. They trend high or over, you know, they're stationary time series. So like they cycle, the price cycles over time rather than goes up over time. And so if your goal is to retire on time and comfortably, the first step in that journey should be to expose your portfolio to non-stationary time series, not stationary time series. So that's a very obvious, you know, problem to solve. It's a stationary time series or non-stationary time series. Next, you know, all the other problems you have to solve beyond that are a little bit more complicated. But in terms of commodities, you know, the likelihood that we, you know, we could be in a what feels like a non-stationary moment in time for the commodities asset class, which currently this, I would argue this current moment certainly feels that way. It seems like we're in a commodity super cycle to the upside. Doesn't mean that 5-10 years from now, commodities won't round trip and be at the same price. They probably will round trip and be at the same price 5-10 years from now, because again, commodities are not, you know, they're stationary time series. I mean, we back tested this extensively across all the different asset classes. Currencies and commodities don't go anywhere. They just cycle over time. And so, you know, if you're trying to, you're putting a lot of emphasis on your ability to trade and risk manage every single commodity cycle, if you're going to use this as a retirement asset, a retirement solution. So my vantage point, it's not a good asset to feature in any sort of retirement oriented account. Now, got another question in our community chat today regarding the Bitcoin allocation and whether or not we would make a change to the KISS model portfolio to swap out Bitcoin and replace it with something else, perhaps like a physical commodity or a basket of physical commodities, like we did in October 2024, when we replaced the 30% target allocation to fixed income with gold. Obviously, it's been a heroic call in terms of the incredible wealth that's been generated across our global investor community as a function of that evolution to the KISS model portfolio. And so occasionally we make those evolutions to the system, which again is still systematic. You know, we're not trading. There's no human input into the system. It's just, you know, we restructure it, redesign the systematic system occasionally to give ourselves the best chance to maximize upside capture in bull markets and minimize downside capture in bear markets with regards to the ex ante forward looking market risk. And so we're going to continue to do that because I don't think you'd be asleep at the wheel as an investor. You know, you can't. There's no way you could program a systematic solution that survives, you know, throughout the duration of a fourth turning poly crisis, or even survives just in normal down and distance for an extended period of time. You're always going to have a really credible, thoughtful, you know, investor who knows what they're doing, you know, be able to, you know, understand the evolution of back tests and also to have a credible forward-looking research process that allows you to make those types of process evolutions as we have since we launched the KISS system back in January 2023. So we get a lot of questions because of the drawdown that we're seeing, the ongoing drawdown that we're seeing in the crypto asset class, and most notably the drawdown coming at a time where precious metals are obviously ramping and ripping and roaring to the upside. A lot of folks are concerned that Bitcoin as an asset class might be broken. I think it's too early to determine that. I think there are some fundamental near-term dynamics that are weighing on the crypto asset class that may not necessarily conclude, that may lead us to not conclude that this is something that's broken about the asset class. Most notably, you know, there's a real discussion across institutional finance and should certainly be in the crypto asset class community as well, that, you know, Kevin Warsh might represent a significant change with regards to the Fed's reaction function and its footprint in the economy and asset markets. And that's very different than the narratives, the stale non-Bayesian narratives that are, you know, kind of, you know, causing people to be hodling, you know, trillions of dollars of losses in this asset class when you calculate the cumulative decline that we've seen since the highs back in October. You know, a lot of folks are hodling trillions of dollars of losses with a stale non-Bayesian narrative that may prove to be wrong. I think it's too early to tell. That's the point I'm making is I don't know. We don't know yet if the Fed's footprint in the economy and asset markets is going to be materially eroded. So that's something that I think is weighing on the Bitcoin asset class. Another thing that's very clearly weighing on the Bitcoin asset class is the, in our opinion, we said it at the time and we'll continue to say it, the ill-advised layering on of leverage to this asset class. It's already the highest beta asset class in the world and one of the highest beta asset classes in world history. You know who, in terms of the big treasury companies, decided that they want to add a lot of leveraged products to this asset class. And obviously that stuff works great when crypto was in a bull market, but as a lot of, you know, unsuspecting investors around the world have learned the hard way in this most recent 50% drawdown in Bitcoin, which, you know, we helped our clients risk manage, you know, as well as anybody in terms of getting them to safety starting in late October and concluding that process of reducing our exposure to Bitcoin and kissing Dr. Mo to zero on November 7th. I think Bitcoin's probably down 40% since November 7th. So a lot of folks out here are underwater, unfortunately, and it's a real shame because, you know, I think there's just a better way to manage risk on investors' journeys to an on time and comfortable retirement. Like I said yesterday, if your goal is to retire on time and comfortably, this is the community for you. If your goal is to overtrade your account and take a bunch of factor risks, that is generally speaking a negative net present value decision for most retail investors, then keep doing what you're doing. We'll be getting rich in here. So we'll wrap it up there. Darius Dell here presenting our macro minute. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Have a great day out there. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice, and 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.